Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a privilege to be in the studio. Do remember, you can contact us via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, equip.org, that's the website. And resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. First up, Heather in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Hank.
How you doing?
Good. I'm out in the field driving a tractor, but I've got it on GPS. So
that is so cool.
No steering necessary. It's kind of fun. My question is, I've been debating on Facebook with a lady from my area that whether or not Christians should go to church. I do go to church. I believe in it. I love our church very much, and it saddens me that our people in our area don't come to church. We have very small attendance with a lot of people around us. And she's a Christian who says she can go to church at home. And I just wondered your thoughts on that.
Absolutely false. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. When we come to faith in Christ, we join a community of faith. We are baptized to our old life. We're raised to newness of life through His resurrection power. And then we take up our cross and follow Christ in community, which means that it is within the body of Christ that we receive the graces of Christ, whereby we can live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, and that in communion, in the fellowship of the saints. So the Scriptures teach us that the Christian life is to be lived in the context of the family of faith. You see that in Ephesians chapter 3, passages like Acts chapter 2. In fact, the Bible knows nothing whatsoever of being born again as a rugged individual. We're born into a body of believers of which Christ is the head. And therefore, as Hebrews commands, let us not give up meeting together as is the custom or the habit of some of you. So spiritual growth, partaking of the graces of God, is impossible apart from membership in a healthy, well-balanced church. And the church is the ground and the pillar of truth. It is in the church that we receive the word and sacrament as a means of God's grace, and therefore it is crucial that we emulate the early Christians who devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. And although it is in the church that we enter into worship, experience fellowship, and are equipped to witness, church membership is not what saves us. As has been well said, I mean, just going to church is not going to save you. But nonetheless, it's critical that the saved are in the church. So I've always told people you have to find a healthy, well-balanced church. This is nothing that you can go alone. My favorite passage on the topic comes from Romans chapter 12. I memorized that passage because it's so precious to me. And I think for anyone who thinks that they can go it alone, read Romans chapter 12, and then you recognize two sides of the coin. On the one side of the coin is the church needs you. On the other side of the coin is you need the church. The church cannot do without you, and you cannot do without the church.
Excellent. That is exactly my thoughts that I've had and pretty much what I've said to her. Whether or not she'll be convinced is up to herself, I suppose. May I ask one more question very similar?
Okay.
I know some people who do go to church, but they say they have little desire for it, that they don't enjoy it or look forward to it, that just their heart's not in it. Is there something wrong there too?
Yeah, I think absolutely, because, you know, I think one of the things that we oftentimes fail to recognize is that it is in church that we come to worship God, and that by worshiping God, we find our all, which is to say we find the God-shaped vacuum that only He could fill. And one of the great paradigm shifts in my own personal life is that when I walk into church now, it is not with the intention of getting something, although I always do. My intention when I walk into church is to worship God, to give Him my all, to be in a state of praising Him through prayer, through praise, through the proclamation that I'm absorbing, to partake of the presence of Christ and to find my all in Him. I don't know how else to express it, but it is a sense of worship that I now have, not a sense of, well, I'm going to get a good sermon, I'm going to get a good music presentation. I may get all of those things, but the reality is my primary focus is to worship God.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's exactly my thoughts too. We have a small church and I'm not talented, but I lead the worship some Sundays. And I love worshiping God. Sunday's my favorite day of the week. I love going to church. And yeah, not for what I really get out of it, but just being there and worshiping Him. And I get excited just thinking about it. I can't wait to go back there.
Well, you know what? It has been a sincere delight and pleasure to talk to someone mowing the grass at the same time we're having a conversation. So thanks so much for calling.
Yes, thank you too.
Yeah, now let me take a Facebook question. I'm extremely thankful for the resource of the Christian Research Institute and Bible Instrument Broadcast. Thank you for dedicating your life to it. Blessings, Hank and team. My question, Matthew 8, verse 28 says that there were two men that lived in a cemetery and were possessed by demons. And Jesus cast demons out of both of them. Mark 5, verse 2 says one man. Luke 8, verse 27 says one man also. Why would it say that? Same with Judas, when it is said he hung himself, and then another verse elsewhere it says he died in a field with his intestines hanging out. Well, let me get the first part of the question. Yeah, Matthew says two, Mark and Luke say one. And what I found odd is that critics have, for some reason, suggested that this is a contradiction. Why would this be a contradiction? Obviously, wherever you have two people, there it always will be 100% of the time, there is one person. In other words, wherever you have two, there's always one. If Mark or Luke said that there was only one person, there'd be a contradiction. But the text does not say that. Now, with respect to Judas, all we have in the accounts are added together in such a way that when you read the accounts, the story is fleshed out in full. So regarding the death of Judas, Matthew said Judas hanged himself. Acts says Judas' body burst open, falling on rocks. Both accounts are accurate. Why? Because they complement one another. If both of the accounts are identical, one of them is unnecessary. And not only that, but you would start, as a critic, crying collusion. So this is adding to the story. Judas hanged himself from a tree over a cliff and then fell into rocks with his intestines bursting out. It's added. It's fleshing out the rest of the story. So there are apparent contradictions and there are real contradictions. And I think discernment skills helps you sort out between the two of them. I think, I'm pretty sure, that I've written about both these contradictions in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. If not, I've written about them elsewhere. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is available for those who support the ministry, just like all my other books are. And if you join CR's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Be right back with your questions in just a few moments.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches.
or visit equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go to Jose in New York, New York. Hi, Jose.
First of all, thank you for your many years. I pray the Lord will keep you and bless you in your challenges and in your blessings.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking my question. I'm going to make my question very short because I know you're on time and so am I. I'm running into Christians that for some reason they believe that there's a special kind of grace for Christians with the idea of suicide. And so it kind of scares me because in my scriptural view, suicide is not something that you can repent from. It's not that kind of sin. So it's final. I cannot decide that someone went to hell, but I don't see where heaven is any part of suicide as well. So I'd like your thoughts, corrections, or anything else.
Yeah, well, you know, in answer to part of the prologue to your question, there are only two options. One is to eternally be in the presence of God. The other is to be eternally separated from his goodness and glory and grace. But I would start with the premise that no single act is unforgivable. The unforgivable sin is a continuous, ongoing rejection of the grace that could be ours. And therefore, those who refuse forgiveness through Christ are going to spend eternity separated from his love and grace. Conversely, those who sincerely desire forgiveness can be absolutely certain that God will never spurn them. Well, what does that have to do with suicide? What I would say is that while suicide is not an unforgivable sin, those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips dare not contemplate it. Why? Because our lives belong to God, and he alone has the prerogative to bring them to an end. And this is not something that I come up with on my own. The Almighty says, "See now that I myself am he. There is no God before me. I put to death and bring to life. I have wounded, I heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand." Which leads to a third and final point, which is that suicide is the murder of oneself, and as such is a direct violation of the sixth commandment, "You shall not murder." So suicide is a direct attack on the sovereignty of the very one who knit us together in our mother's womb. Now, that's just giving you the raw data. But I think that here's where we go from that raw data by way of extension. It is certainly possible to imagine a person in a state of great depression, anxiety. They're despondent. They're in an altered state of consciousness. And incidentally, I have started to meet more and more people in that condition. But I can imagine one of those people in a state of despondency suddenly taking their life. Now, they're not in a right frame of mind, and they do that. I do not now believe that we could say that that person is excluded from heaven. We do things in states that we probably shouldn't be in, but states that we get in for maybe medical reasons, psychological reasons, where we say and do things we wouldn't ordinarily say and do. And if one of those things that we do is the termination of life, it doesn't exclude us from going to heaven. However, having said that, based on the raw data that I just gave you earlier, no Christian in a right state of mind, living within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, receiving the graces of God, should ever contemplate suicide. Because, as I finished up saying, in terms of the data itself, suicide is the taking of one's own life. So it is a very, very serious matter. It's a violation of the sixth commandment, and we must never dare contemplate such a thing.
Amen. I totally, totally agree with all your statements. I'd like to make one last statement, and it's that where suicide shows up in Scripture, the only one ever suggesting it is Satan to Christ himself. And I believe God totally killed that idea by answering him with Scripture. So the antidote for suicide
beautiful.
Is Scripture.
Beautiful. Jose, you're a blessing. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Lance now in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Lance.
Hi. Good to talk with you. So you're largely responsible for bringing me to Christ 25 years ago, and I'm really blessed now to say that I'm a Christian and can have a prayer list to keep you on. So I thank you so much.
Thank you, Lance.
So I think the short answer to my question is that God is sovereign and he can do what he would like, but I'm struggling with why, if God was so displeased with humanity, he elected to destroy humanity with a flood rather than choose a more humane method to start all over.
Yeah, I am not in the position of being able to question God. His words, his ways are beyond my ken. I can tell you, after living the Christian life for many, many years, that I simply trust God in all of his judgments, that his judgments are always true, they're just, and they're merciful. Because God sees things that we do not see. We see but a momentary flash. God sees the panoply of our lives. I go back to a testimony, and I'll finish answering the question after this little anecdote, but the testimony of a woman who had the exact same disease I did. She's in remission now. And she made a statement that was almost impossible for me to fathom. She said to me, if God would take me through this travail and trial and tear again, I would gladly follow him, because what has come out of this is something that I treasure. Now, no one would ever think that. I'm going to go through a valley, and it's in the valley that the deep waters of refreshing reside. It is in the valley that oftentimes you are pruned. But when you think about it, you think, why in the world would God ever take somebody through something like that? It doesn't make any sense. All I have to do is touch the hem of his garment and the healing virtue would flow into me and I wouldn't have to go get a blood transfusion tomorrow. It doesn't make any sense, but it does make sense. I see every step of the way, opportunities for witness. I see every step of the way, a dependence on the Lord. But what had happened to people? Well, the biblical text actually says that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, that every inclination of his thoughts, of his heart, were only evil. Only evil. All the time. Think about that. The only inclination of the heart was only evil, only all the time. And so the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Now imagine that. God has created humanity, and he's created humanity for fellowship with him. He's created humanity, as Abraham was, to be friends of God. And instead, the hearts of men had turned to self-adulation, to worship of Satan, and to constant sin, sin so egregious that if we were to be the judge, we may have said even worse. You see people today talking about other people and saying hell would be too good a punishment for that person. In other words, not even hell would satisfy the evil that person. That's our judgment. But God sees everything perfectly. And so God's judgments are always righteous and just and perfect. And out of this situation, he saved 8 persons in all through the waters of the flood, and he created a meta-narrative in which there'd be a second Adam to redeem all those who reach out to his mercy and his grace. And that is inviolate. And that's why we have Paul saying, from one man God chose every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And he did that so men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. God's ways are inscrutable. His ways are perfect. And so I leave this matter in the hands of the Lord, but the text says it all. Men were only wicked in their thoughts all of the time. This was God's judgment. I rest my case with God. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I would like to invite many of you to join CRI's support team. There is a great need for people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. So whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. I'll personalize a copy of my books to you, a family member or a friend. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.